Hi, I'm Heather, and you're listening to Island Girl, Episode 1, A State of Grief. It had been 6 months, and there was no denying the time had come. The room, dark, had no television chatting in the corner, no music, no motion. The person sitting in the armchair next to the unlit fire was doing nothing, simply staring. This had become something of a habit now. Sylviane Stockard had spent the last 6 months in a similar pose. The only change during this time was in her attitude, because 6 months prior, she had sat in the light, with noise and laughter around her, a fluffy head with limited interests. Her sole claim to purpose rested on her role of wife, mother and happy homemaker, which she had thoroughly enjoyed over the last 26 years. But 6 months ago, all that had changed, when Stockard had left a short note on the mantelshelf informing her he was leaving. It offered no explanation, no solace, and true to his word, he'd gone. First of all, there was grief. It had been debilitating and raw. She was left exposed and bleeding from the blunt force of that pathetic note, and she cried. God, she'd cried like a wounded bull. But all too soon, like rats in the night, Sylviane had felt the gnawing bitterness of anger turning her insides to hot bile. And so she had sat alone and silent with her thoughts, sporadically sobbing, but always hating him. If people, those she called her friends, knew that she'd spent her evenings like this, there would have been raised eyebrows at the very least, or the more concerned would have frowned worriedly, because even she knew it was at best unhealthy. He hadn't died, after all. If he had died, people would be more solicitous, more accepting. But he hadn't died. She resented him for not even having the decency to leave her with that. The respectability of widowhood, the comfort of draping herself in black and receding from the world. Divorce, so commonplace, so breezy, so easy, so devastating. The clocks had turned back to GMT that last weekend of her life as she had known it, as she'd liked it. And she'd gone through those first weeks of winter screaming inside. She wanted that life back, but it had been swallowed up into the darkness and she could no longer reach it. She was aware the room felt cold. The heating timer must have switched off because it was quite late. What was the time? She peered at her watch face but couldn't make out the hands. She decided it must be past bedtime. But she felt oddly restless. She knew that if she went to bed now, sleep wouldn't find her, and suddenly she was reluctant to go upstairs and fight with it. Instead, she got up and made her way to the kitchen. She'd make a drink. Fumbling for the light switch, she was mildly surprised that the kitchen looked so spick and span. Granted, it hadn't been overly used. Her appetite was anything but hearty these days, and she had long since dispensed with the formality of a set meal. What was the point? She went to take a mug from the cupboard, and as she reached in, her sleeve managed to brush against an overfilled shelf and knocked at two others stacked precariously close to the edge, and they tumbled out and crashed and smashed noisily onto the floor. The noise echoed loudly across the kitchen and through the empty house like a gun going off, and Sylviane felt the all-too-quick prick of tears. She looked around to see the neat and ordered kitchen, sterile and cold, unlived in. It was as if she'd been nothing more than a ghost sailing through the place, not touching, not feeling, not noticing. Not touched, not felt, not seen. There had been noise in that kitchen, wonderful noises, pots clattering and warm smells wafting through, and children tumbling through who were half-chided half-heartedly for paddling mud across recently mopped floors, and laughter. If she listened, she could swear she could still hear it, like ancient echoes. She could hear childlike squeals and adult chortles rumbling around. "Mum, Mum, tell him he's got my bag. Sylv, where are my keys? Oh, it's okay, I've got them. Mum, I need lunch money." The tears came then, as they always did, splashing hotly on her cheek. What the hell was she going to do? She kicked the broken pottery to the side, deliberately scattering the chunks across the floor. There, it wasn't so bloody neat now. She flicked the kettle switch to boil, her teeth clenched mulishly, and she wiped her hand across her eyes and rubbed the underside of her palm up under her nose, sniffing loudly as she did. It was time. She pulled Horlicks from the cupboard, but found that it had semi-solidified in the bottom of the jar. She looked down into the jar to see the unusable, unpalatable lumps. "Just like my frigging life," she muttered, and she threw the jar with full force onto the floor and watched the explosion of glass shards and powdery goo fire in all directions.